Lord, Yahweh bless you. This teaching is going to be the Trinity, the sins of Jeroboam. And so this is, the Trinity is nothing new, it's something that's very old. We'll go through the Word and see how this happens. So we're going to, let's begin with a prayer first. Now we'll begin. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for life that's more than abundant. We thank you, Christ, for being our Savior and being our head, and through you we come to Ab Adonai Yahweh. Amen.
Amen.
Go to 1 Kings 11, page 364.
Here, Isaiah, grab a Bible.
Chapter 11, verse 9. And this is kind of going on the tales of cavemen about having evil friends. One thing we have with the Trinity is many people think, since it's been around for so many years and has been upheld by so many, you know, Christian people, that it must be true. And we've got to realize that Solomon was a prophet anointed by Yahweh. Did he gravitate towards other gods?
Yes.
Yes, he did. And he's a lot higher than Martin Luther or, you know, Calvin Klein. No. Calvin, you know, and all the rest of the individuals who have done things. So we got to realize Solomon, we're going to see a lot of other people involved too. So what we got to do is we see an error, we see that it's not in the Word, we trash it, we burn it, we get rid of it. So chapter 11, verse 9 and 10.
Is that 1 Kings?
Yes. Page 364. 9 and 10. Okay, Melania, read 9 and 10.
Sit.
Therefore did Yahweh show himself angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned aside from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, who had appeared unto him twice, and had been given command to him concerning this thing, that he should not go away after other gods, but he had not taken heed unto that which Yahweh had commanded.
Well, right. Other gods. And so there is one God. What's his name?
Yahweh.
And what's the first commandment? Let's just say it. Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5. Go ahead, Isaiah.
Deuteronomy 6, 4, 2, 5.
Hear, O Israel.
Yahweh is Elohim, Yahweh alone. Thou shalt therefore love him to the house and the soul of them. Deuteronomy 6, 4, 2, 5.
There's just one. Not multiple ones. But Solomon, who father was David, of all people, went after other gods, and he was anointed and a prophet of Yahweh. Now we're going into Jeroboam. What are the sins of Jeroboam? So Jeroboam is also a person we're going to find out is anointed. So we go to verse 28 of the same chapter. And the man Jeroboam, king, being an able man, Solomon observed his servant that he was one to execute a work. So he gave him oversight of all the charges of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at a time when Jeroboam went forth out of Jerusalem, that there met him Ahijah, the Shilonite, the prophet, in the way, he having wrapped himself about with a new mantle, and they two were by themselves in the field. Then Ahijah laid hold of the new mantle that was upon him, and rent it into 12 pieces, and said unto Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, behold me about to rent the kingdom out of the hands of Solomon, and I will give unto thee 10 tribes. Howbeit one tribe shall be retained for the sake of thy servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and bowed themselves down to the gods.
That's true.
So, is Jeroboam chosen by Yahweh?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Go to chapter 12, verse 25. So following leaders, if the leaders are not following the word, is angering Yahweh. And so every one of us will be accountable. 25 through 13:2. So you want to start, Wendy, and then I'll, when you get tired, I'll read. Or read until 29, I guess. Start
then 25. Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and dwelt therein and went forth from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem, then will the heart of this people return unto their Lord, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will slay me and return unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Lo, thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel.
Now we'll just stop here. I'll read. So we see here's one appointed by Yahweh. And did Aaron make a god?
Yep.
He was a prophet too. And anointed. I mean, he was anointed a prophet. So we've got to realize this is the highest of the high that can stumble in this particular area. And it has happened for centuries in our area also. So remember, Judah is required to go to Jerusalem. Not Judah. All of Israel was required to go to Jerusalem how many times a year?
Three.
Three times. Three different festivals. So Jeroboam doesn't want people to go back to Jerusalem, which they're supposed to go back three times a year, all the males. So he says, what am I going to do? So instead of trusting Yahweh, he says, I'll make my own gods. So how many gods do we have now? We're going to see. We have one God now, which is Yahweh, and now we're going to appear with two more. So how many gods does that make?
Three.
Three. And how many gods are in the Trinity?
Three.
Three. Let's go in 29. And he set the one in Bethel. Here's one God. And the other put he in Dan. There's the two gods. Now, another special day, a very special day, was the seventh month, which is the month of Tishri. And this is where you have the festival of booths, which was the seventh month from the 15th and for 7 days.
Isn't that when you rejoice?
Yeah. All you do is rejoice. So we've got to change people. So he's going to do something, and watch what he does. This was a big thing because that was your harvest all came in. All we're supposed to do is party. Just have fun, fun, fun. And people are going to really want that. So I'm going to have to replace that. And so Satan working this all behind this also. So we've got to remember, behind the Trinity is Satan. And was Satan behind all this? Absolutely. Was Satan behind Solomon through his wife? Absolutely. Is Solomon accountable? Yes, he is. Are his wives accountable? Yes, they are. Is Jeroboam accountable? Yes, they are. But we are wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. In 29, and he set one in Bethel, and the other he put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin. And the people went before the one as far as Dan, and he made a house of high places, and made priests from the whole compass of the people. Who were supposed to be the priest?
Levites
only. And he took them from everybody.
Sons of Aaron.
Who were not all the sons of Levi. And Jeram did a festival in the what month?
Eighth month.
An eighth month. When's it supposed to be?
Seventh.
The eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like the festival which was held in Judah, and offered up on the altar, likewise did he in Bethel, sacrifice it to the calves which he had made, and he kept in attendance in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made, and he offered up on the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the eighth month, in the month which he has devised out of his own heart. Who devised this?
He did.
Thus made he a festival, good payment for Yahweh, for making him king. Thus made he a festival for the sons of Israel, and offered up on the altar to make a perfume. So gods are generally made to make people happy, other gods. And that's what Aaron did to his people too. And lo, a man of Elohim came in out of Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel, as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make a perfume. And he made proclamation against the altar by the word of Yahweh and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, lo, a son to be born unto the house of David, Josiah his name, who shall. I'm going to cover any more of that. He's prophesying for something that's going to happen 350 years later. How old is the United States?
200.
Now, 250 years. This is 350 years later. So it's a long ways away, but remember Josiah. Now we go to the sins of Jeroboam. Remember, there's two gods. Now we're going to watch what he has done that's going to be carried on from generation upon generation upon generation. And so once you get a sin going, and we had that with slavery in the United States. Once slavery was accepted in certain parts, it kept going and going, and people didn't know what to do with it.
And a
person was grown up with slaves, and their parents had slaves. And so they just thought, well, this is the way things are. So much in it today are the same way, too. People did not go to the Word. As we saw that with divorces, marriage and divorces. Marriages are supposed to be done in the church, and divorces are supposed to be done in the church. That's 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Marriage is done in the church, but divorces are not done in the church. Why aren't they doing it? Because they are rebelling against Yahweh. They're not doing it. Either people don't want it, and the pastors don't want the responsibility. But it says very simply, you don't sue your brother before the unbeliever. You do it before the saints. And that includes all legal suits. But are we doing it? No, we're not. So are we speaking in tongues, interpreting and prophesying in the group, like 1 Corinthians 14? No, we're not. Are we doing? Yeah, and so one thing after another, and we've never seen somebody do this, but once we read the Word, we realize this is supposed to be done. And this is what we're going to find out what Josiah saw 350 years later. Why? Because he read the Word. And when he saw this, he started actually doing what the book says. People today are not doing and pastors today are not doing what the book says in many areas. So let's go. We're going to just go through 1 Kings 15:30. And we're going to see this sin going through hundreds of years. It's called the sins of Jeroboam. And read 15:30, Esther. It's only one sentence.
Okay.
Oh, get it? This is
okay.
Nadab.
She's got it.
Okay. Speak loud.
For the sins of
Jeroboam,
which he committed, and which he caused Israel to commit by his
provocation,
wherewith he provoked anger Yahweh, God of Israel.
There's the sin of Jeroboam. That was Nadab. Let's go to 16:31.
Who is
this
Nadab?
Next page. He's king of Israel. And we're going to look at Ahab. Here's another king. So these guys all die, and another king comes in. 16:31. Okay, Isaiah.
16:31.
Yes.
And it came to pass, as there had been too light a thing that should walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, daughter of
Ethbaal,
king of
Zidonians,
and went into Baal and bowed down to him.
Okay. And so, but the sins of Jeroboam was not just bad enough to do the sins of Jeroboam. What was the sins of Jeroboam?
Two calves.
He made two gods. Let's just really go down to it. He made two gods. Right?
Right.
And where were they?
Bethel
and
Dan. Just remember that. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Okay, Cademan. Chapter 3, verse 3.
Page 182 in the New Testament.
And this is Jehoram, son of Ahab. Okay, I'll go ahead. No, you're not even in the Old Testament.
You said
2 Corinthians.
Yeah. No.
You meant Chronicles?
No.
I said 2 Kings 3:3.
Oh,
did I really?
Yeah.
Sorry. 2 Kings.
33.
Boy, you're really, that's it for the year.
This is 2018.
That's two in one day.
Oh, yeah. 2
Corinthians 3:3.
No,
2
Kings
3:3.
2 Kings. Sorry. I was talking about Corinthians.
Chronicles. Corinthians. Okay.
Galatians.
Kings.
Okay, page 383.
2 Kings
3:3.
383. Oh, page 383, Mom.
I'm going to go ahead and read it. You guys can catch up. Nevertheless, unto the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit, he did cleave. He turned not away thereof. This is Jehoram, son of Ahab. Now we go to chapter 10, verse 28, 2 Kings.
What verse?
Chapter 10, verse 28 to 29. Okay, Cayman. Never mind. And nevertheless, as the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to sin, Jehu turned not away from following him, the calves of gold, one being in Bethel and the other in Dan. The problem was with Jehu.
Yehu.
Yeah, you're really Yehu, but. We go to chapter 9, verse 1 and 3. This Jehu, or Yehu, which is actually his name, was also anointed by Yahweh.
What chapter?
Chapter 9, 1 through 3. Go ahead, Melania.
Now, Elisha the prophet called out one of the sons of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this flask of oil in thy hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead, and when thou art come in thither, then look thee out there, Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, and thou shalt enter and get him to rise up out of the midst of the brethren, and take him into an inner chamber. Then shalt thou take a flask of oil and pour out upon his head and say, thus saith Yahweh, I have anointed thee to be king unto Israel. Then shalt thou open the door and flee and not tarry.
Run!
So Jehu,
Yehu
was anointed by Yahweh also. He wiped out that. His job was to wipe out all of Ahab's camp. And he wiped out Jezebel, all of Ahab's sons, all of Baal worshippers. But one thing he didn't wipe out was, go back to 10, verse 28. Then Yehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. That's good. That was, let's say that's Luther. So Luther did a great thing to go from the Catholic Church. A lot of garbage that they did. They destroyed a lot of things that the Catholic Church was doing. But, nevertheless, as for the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit, Yehu turned not away from following them, the calves of gold, one being in Bethel and the other in Dan. So he went ahead and kept following it.
Did part of it.
Yeah, he knocked out Baal, but he didn't get rid of these two gods. So he still got three gods. And Israel. And remember with Elijah, when they did the fire, he says, if El is God, praise him, or if Baal is God, praise him. So they were worshiping both. Remember, these people are always worshiping Yahweh too, along with their other two gods. So the more the gods, the better, many times. So at least they've got three, Israel. Chapter 13, verse 2. Cayman. Read verse 2. And this is Jehoahaz, son of Yehu, verse 2, 13:2.
And he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. And when after the sins of Jeroboam, son of
Nebat,
which he caused Israel to commit, he departed not therefrom.
Do you think Yahweh is bringing this up, the sons of Jeroboam?
The sins of Jeroboam.
The sins of Jeroboam of Nebat. The sins of Jeroboam of Nebat. Now let's go to 14:24. And this is Jeroboam. This is Jeroboam II. 24. And he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. He turned not away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to sin. If people were not taught the Trinity, they would not believe in the Trinity.
Because it's stupid.
It's not in this book.
It's insane. Not insane.
Very simply. And this is given the responsibility which he caused Israel to commit. So the leaders are responsible for the people committing sins, because they're supposed to be the shepherds, and they're following the shepherds and leading the sheep astray. And let's see here. Now we go to 15:9. Remember, these were all Israelites. That's, you know, all knew the Mosaic law, and so once Jeroboam left, all of them knew they were supposed to go back to Jerusalem. They've been doing it for, you know, at least 80 years, all through Solomon and all through David's life, going back there. So they knew they were supposed to go. So he had to have a generation that had to say, okay, we have new rules and new gods, is what it comes down to. 15:9. And this is Zechariah. And he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, as did his fathers. He turned not away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to sin. So they're not only doing that, they're causing Israel to sin by not doing this, by not turning away from it. Now, a summation of the tribe of Israel is in chapter 17, verse 20. When do you want to read 20 to 23?
So Yahweh rejected all the seed of Israel and humiliated them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out from his presence. For he rent Israel away from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, king. And Jeroboam thrust away Israel from following Yahweh and caused them to commit a great sin. And the sons of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he had committed. They turned not away therefrom until that Yahweh removed Israel from his presence, according as he spake through all his servants the prophets. And so Israel was driven away from off their own soil to Assyria until this day.
That is the sins of Jeroboam. Which was, what's the sins of Jeroboam?
He built two cats.
Yeah. So how many gods have they got now?
Three.
Okay. You got one in Jerusalem, one in Bethel, and one in Dan. Now let's go to we're in 2 Kings, go to 23. And then here's where we come in. This is Josiah.
What verse?
Let me just write here.
You said chapter 20.
Yeah, I said chapter 20. Let's start and go to 22 for a second. In verse 10, page 407, Josiah, he's been raised this way. They don't have the word of Yahweh. Now, he's in Judah, not in Jerusalem.
And so Israel, is he?
Yeah, so Israel, the 10 tribes have already been carried away. Judah's left, and this is about 100 years after Samaria and the 10 tribes have been carried away by the king of Assyria. He's a young guy. He starts off like 8 or 12 years old. But a guy finds the book in the temple. And it's called the Word of Yahweh. Now look what happens. In verse 11, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, and then they go in there to a prophetess to say, what are we supposed to do? So this is Josiah.
There's so many sins.
He just saw, once it's saying, if I had a slave, and then all of a sudden I read, if you have slaves, I'm going to put you to death, what are you going to do? Holy mackerel! What have I done?
Get out of the house.
The creator is really mad at me, isn't he?
Yeah, the creator.
Yeah, that's right. The creator is really mad at me. If I am committing other sins by not helping the orphans or the widows, by not doing anything, well, they deserve their own deal. And all of a sudden I read this book that I'm supposed to help the orphan and the widows, and I say, oy vey, my eyes have been opened, so then I got to get busy.
Since his wrath shall fire up against this place and not be quenched.
Yeah, so now we go to 23, 15, and 16.
And this is a kid.
Remember.
Between Esther and Melania.
Well, he started when he was 18. No, he started.
When he became king.
When he became king, guys. Yeah, he was, I think, 8 or 12 years old. But he started seeking Yahweh. Going to say something. Oh, let's go to 15. Moreover, also the alternate. Oh, remember Jeroboam, the man of Elohim came up to him and said, "Somebody's going to crush this altar. His name is going to be Josiah."
Josh.
Altar.
Yeah, and here it is. Here's happening. Moreover, also the altar that was in Bethel, the high place with Jeroboam, son of Nebat, made. Wherewith he caused Israel to sin, even that altar and the high place, break he down, Josiah broke down, and burned the high place, crushing it to powder and burning a sacred stem. And when Josiah turned and saw the graves which were there in the mount, he sent and took the bones out of the graves and burned upon the altar. And why you put a human bones on an altar is it defiled it, which means that it's so putrid now they'll never use it again. That's why they put human bones on there. And defiled it according to the word of Yahweh, which the man of Elohim proclaimed, who proclaimed these things. Then said he, "What is yonder erection which I do see?" And the men of the city said unto him, "The grave of the man of Elohim, who came in out of Judah, and proclaimed these things, which thou hast done according concerning the altar of Bethel."
Wow.
This is 350 years later that this has been handed down.
So he says, "What's that?" And they say, "It's the grave of the guy that prophesied
what you just did."
Wow,
that's something. So he said, "Leave the grave alone." Now, so now we're back to the Trinity on the sins of Jeroboam. Let's just see. They've exalted Yahushua as Yahweh, and so we were just at a church service, and they've got Yahweh being ambionic fluid in Mary. I mean, it's just getting so bizarre that, you can't even take your children to church anymore at Christmas because of this pagan stuff. As we know, God, the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word Trinity, Incarnation, none of these can be found any place in this book. Period. That should be the end of the subject. That's it. But let's go to the book of Acts and see who Yahushua is. In the book of Acts, we're going to find out there's no God the Son, there's no God the Holy Spirit, there's no incarnation, there is no God man. But there is a man, there's a Lord, he's a Messiah, he's a servant, he's a princely leader of life, he's the stone set at naught, he's the Savior, he's the Son of Yahweh, he's anointed with Holy Spirit. And he's going to be a judge, and he's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. Very simply.
Yeah,
now we go into Acts 2:22. And all you got to do is, when somebody says, there's a Trinity, just say, go through Acts. And I want you to, and this is for people on this teaching too, just go through the book of Acts and see if there's any evidence of what the church is teaching has ever brought to the book of Acts. They're always going to go to the Gospel of John, and so what they've done is, then they're taking something out of context that Peter didn't know about, Paul didn't know about, Stephen didn't know about,
Moses.
So, Moses didn't know about, none of the prophets knew about, except for you, and these what they call these church fathers. But before I begin, here is the Creed of Constantinople. This is what the church adheres to. But about Christ. And we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that's correct, eternally begotten of the Father. Nonsense. Light from light. Nonsense. True God from true God. No scripture there. Begotten, not made. He's begotten. Never says begotten, not made. And if you're begotten, you are made. For goodness sake, that's what begotten means. Of one being with the Father, through him all God things were made. That is what is taught. And so we're going to see in the book of Acts, none of that's in the book of Acts. Let's read 2:22 and 24 of Acts. We're trying to go. We're going to go through the book of
through
Acts.
24.
Yeah, why don't you read 22 to 24?
Ye men of Israel, hear these words: Yahushua the Nazarene, a man.
There is a man. What is he? What is Yahushua?
A man.
Go ahead.
A man pointed out of is it Elohim?
You say
El.
No,
unto you by mighty words, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, just as ye yourselves know. The same by the marked out counsel and foreknowledge of God given up through the hands of lawless men, suspending ye slew, whom God raised up, loosing the pangs of death, inasmuch as it was not possible for him to continue held fast by it. For David saith...
Stop there. So he's a man. Yahweh did things through him, and Yahweh raised him up, raised him or woke him from the death. Okay, 31 to 33. Isaiah 31 to 33.
Same chapter. With foresight spake he concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned unto Hades, nor did he see corruption. The same Yahushua hath Yahweh raised up. Wherefore all we are witnesses by the right hand of Yahweh. Wherefore having been exalted, also the promise of the Holy Spirit has received from the Father, he hath poured out, which yourselves do see and hear.
Okay, we see that he's at the right hand of Yahweh, the resurrection of the Messiah. Okay, 36 to 38, Esther. Loudly, sit up so we can understand you.
Assuredly then, that all the house of Israel know that both Lord and Christ hath God made him, even the same Jesus who ye crucified. And when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart and said to Peter...
Wait a minute. Did you skip something?
No.
Okay, you keep going. Yeah, it's 38. Go, keep reading.
And the rest of the apostles, what are we to do, brethren? And Peter said unto them, repent ye, and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ to remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit.
So, and Yahweh made him Lord and Christ, or a Messiah. It says here, he's got the right that he was, and are they immersing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
Nope.
No, they're not immersing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're immersing in the name of Yahushua Mashiach. Chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. Okay, Kevin, can you whip that out?
Chapter 3:13-15. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of your fathers, hath glorified his servants, Jesus, whom ye indeed delivered up and denied the Pilate's face, when you had
a judge
to release him, but ye denied the holy and righteousness one, and claimed a man that was a murderer to be granted you, but the priestly leader of life ye slew, whom Yahweh raised from among the dead, that wherefore we are witnesses.
So we see that Yahushua is a servant of Yahweh. He's the holy and righteous one, the princely leader of life. And Yahweh woke him from among the dead. Verse 26. I'll read that. Unto you first, Yahweh, having raised up his servant, what is Yahushua?
Servant.
A servant. has sent him forth ready to bless you when you are turning away each one from your wickedness. Chapter 4, 10 through 12.
It's interesting because in 22 it says he's a prophet too.
Yeah, he's a prophet. That's right. Very about that. Be it known unto you and unto all the people of Israel that in the name of Yahushua Mashiach, the Nazarene, whom ye crucified, whom Yahweh awoke from among the dead, in him doth this man stand by your presence whole. This is the stone set in not by you the builders, which became the head of the corner. Christ is the cornerstone. And there is no one else salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven which has been set forth among men in which you must needs be saved. Now we go to 26 and 27, chapter 4. The kings of the earth stationed themselves, and the rulers were gathered together with one intent against Yahweh and against his Messiah. You ever see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in here? No. It's always Yahushua and Yahweh, for goodness sakes. You know, and it's not Yahweh became flesh, and because we're talking about two entities here. And one entity is the Son, and one of the other one's the Father, and the Father awoke the Son from among the dead. And he was the Father's servant, he's the man.
Caden was asking a question.
Some churches teach that Jesus was the Father and the Son.
That's right. That's what we're talking about. You know. And in some churches they teach Mary's the mother of God. Well, if Mary's the mother of God, then Yahweh should be the Father of God. And so now we've got...
How can you do that?
But he's the Son of God, so then Yahweh must be the Father of God, since the Son of God is God the Son. So now we have the Father of God, the Mother of God, and God.
You got the brothers of God, because he had brothers, Judas.
Well, then we have the Holy Spirit God, which is in here someplace also. So you can see what's happening. The Catholic Church, they have the Mother of God, which is very rightfully so. If he's Yahweh,
Mary was his mother.
Now, but you got a problem, because we all know that Yahweh has a God. It's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yahushua has a God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then obviously, then we got multiple gods. This is the sons of Jeroboam.
Yeah.
No difference. When people in Israel will say, well, what about Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5? Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And what are we doing with this calf in Bethel and this calf in Dan? Well. Just don't pay attention to those scriptures. This is what we're doing right now.
Our church father, Jeroboam.
That's a good one. 26 and 27. Who by our, and the kings of the earth stationed themselves, and the rulers were gathered together with one intent against Yahweh and against his Christ, and they were gathered together of a truth in this city against the holy servant, Yahushua, whom thou hast anointed. You know, there, so Yahweh anointed him with Holy Spirit. He's a servant of Yahweh. Let's go on to 5:30. And crush through these things. The God of our fathers has raised up or awoken Yahushua, and awoken is always Egyro. So they use the word raise, but Egyro means to awaken. The Elohim of our fathers has raised up Yahushua, whom you got into your hands, suspending him upon a tree. Him as princely leader and savior, so now we know he's a savior, princely leader, hath Yahweh exalted to his right hand to give repentance unto Israel and the remission of sins. He's at the right hand. This is all, tell us about who Yahushua is. The whole book is about. Chapter 7, verse 55.
It says that him as princely leader and savior hath Yahweh exalted unto his right hand. How can he exalt someone if he is someone?
Yeah, it just becomes just nonsense.
I know.
But it is a sense of Jeroboam. Verse 55, but he being already full of the Holy Spirit, looking steadfastly into heaven. So this is Stephen being stoned. And we looked into heaven and he saw Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Nope.
No.
No, he didn't. Let's just see what he saw. He saw Jesus by himself, standing alone.
Nope.
Three in one.
No, he didn't. He didn't see Jesus by himself. He saw the glory of Yahweh and Yahushua standing on the right hand of Yahweh. That's what Stephen witnessed to. So Stephen doesn't know anything about the Trinity. 8:35. Sure didn't see a Trinity
as he's
being killed. So that must have been a false illusion for Stephen. It's not really happening. 8:35. And Philip, opening his mouth and beginning from the scriptures, told him the glad tidings of Yahushua. And let's see here. I guess we'll just stop there. I'm not sure why I got that verse. 9:20-22. Okay. And straightway in the synagogue, he began proclaiming Yahushua that he is God the Son.
Yep.
That he is what?
The Son of God.
The Son of Yahweh. And all who were hearing were astonished and began to say, is not this he who destroyed Jerusalem, them that invoked his name, and here for this purpose had come in order that he might lead them bound into the high priest? But Saul was the more gaining power and was confounding the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, showing by comparison that this is the Messiah. The Christ. That's what Christ means. Chapter 10, verse 36.
Just
that was Philip. So we see Peter. We see
Christ
Philip.
Christ means Messiah.
Yeah. Christ
Savior.
Means, yeah. And so, mm-hmm. Anointed one. So we've seen the testimony of Peter. We see the testimony of Stephen. We see the testimony of Philip. We're going to see the testimony of Peter again. 10:36-38. As touching the word, let's see here, am I right place? Yep. As touching the word he has sent unto the sons of Israel, announcing the glad message of peace through Yahushua Mashiach, the same is Lord of all. He's Lord. Okay. Ye yourselves know what hath come to pass throughout the whole of Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the immersion with John, proclaiming Yahushua, who was of Nazareth, hath Yahweh anointed with what?
Power.
Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach, and with power. So we know he was anointed with Holy Spirit. And he's Lord of all.
He wouldn't have to be if he was God.
Okay, now we go 40-43. The same Yahweh awoke up on the third day and gave him to become manifest, not unto all the people, but unto the wilderness witnesses who had been afore appointed by Yahweh, unto us who indeed did eat and drink with him after his rising from among the dead. And he charged us to proclaim unto the people and bear full witness that this is he that has been marked out by this is he that is God. This is he that has been marked out by Yahweh to be judge of the living and the dead. So we know he's going to be the living, the judge of the living and the dead. Unto the same do all the prophets bear witness that remission of sins is to be revealed through his name by everyone that believeth on him. And we go to 13:23, chapter 13, verse 23. And by the way, this paper, or all these verses, are on our website under new articles. From this man's seed, which is David, so we know that Yahushua was son of David. Yahweh is not son of David. From this man's seed have Yahweh, according to promise, brought unto Israel a Savior, Yahushua. And let's see, that's 13:23. Now we go to 33, the same chapter. That Yahweh hath fulfilled the same for our children by raising up Yahushua. As also in the second psalm is written, my son art thou. So we know that Yahushua is the son of Yahweh. I this day have begotten thee, that he is born, begotten thee. Let's see here. And in that he raised him from among the dead, no more destined to return unto corruption, On this way hath he spoken, I will give unto you the faithful said of David. And wherefore also in a different place he said, thou wilt not give thy man a said to see corruption, or loving kindness is his said. In 38 and 39, same chapter, and this is the witness that the apostles are bringing throughout the world. This is who we're talking about, Yahushua. 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, brethren, that through this man, what is he?
Man.
Unto you, remission of sins is declared, and from all things from which you could not by the law of Moses be justified, by this what?
Man.
Everyone that believeth is justified. Called man twice. You know, you would be called a heretic if you called him a man.
Today.
Right? Yeah, today. You would be. No different than if somebody in Jeroboam's time would have spoken and said, hey, aren't we supposed to be worshiping in Jerusalem on the seventh month, the 15th day? He would have been stoned and put to death because he spoke the truth. And where am I? This is chapter 13. Okay, I did that, 38, 39, 17, verse, chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. Okay, Melania, 2 and 3.
Yeah. And according to Paul's custom, he went in unto them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, opening up and setting forth that it was needful for the Christ to suffer and to arise from among the dead, and saying, this is the Christ Yahushua whom I am declaring unto you.
That's right. So he's the Messiah. Yahushua is the Messiah. Verse 30 and 31. The time of ignorance, therefore, overlooking Yahweh as things now are, is charging all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he is about to be judging the habitable earth in righteousness by a man whom he hath pointed out. Who is that man?
Yahushua.
Offering faith unto all by raising him from among the dead. Wow. Now 18:5. When, however, both Silas and Timothy had come down from Macedonia, Paul began to be urging on in the word, bearing full witness unto the Jews that Yahushua was God.
No.
Yahushua was who?
The Christ.
Christ. The Christ, the Messiah. 28. Let's see here. And with great force began he confuting the Jews, publicly showing by the Scriptures that Yahushua was God.
Christ.
No, it was the Christ. See? And then we go to chapter 22, verse 8. It's Apostle Paul. And I answered, who art thou, Lord? So this is Yahushua talking to Paul in the vision when he got knocked off his horse. And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am God.
Nope.
God the Son.
Yahweh. 3-1.
Yeah. I am Yahushua the Nazarene, whom thou art persecuting. Let's see here. Yeah, we'll just. Where am I? Is that 22:8? We'll just stop there. 28:31.
28 through 31.
No, just chapter 28, verse 31.
Chapter 28, verse 31, which will be on page 150, I think.
Here's what Paul is doing, proclaiming the kingdom of Yahweh and teaching the things concerning the Lord, Mashiach, Yahushua, with all freedom of speech without hindrance. So, the church today is committing the sins of Jeroboam.
It's nothing new.
It is nothing new. It's sad, but we have to be solid that we can show people without a doubt to say these are the sins of Jeroboam. And if it's not in the scripture, like Josiah says, We have nothing to do with it and try to deliver people. And if they don't want to be delivered, that's fine. They can live the sins of Jeroboam, but Yahweh is angry. Because he was angry about the sins of Jeroboam also.
May I add something to it?
Yeah, go ahead.
What they'll teach today is that there are not three gods. They're saying the three in one. Yeah. You're worshiping one God. That's what Aaron said when he made a golden calf.
Yeah.
He made an image for the people, and he said, we're going to do a festival to Yahweh. Yeah. So they're deceiving themselves. You have three gods.
Yeah. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they only say there's only one, there's three persons and one God, and on and on and on. So it just comes up with hiatus. Nothing with the scriptures. It has nothing to do with this book. Neither is Mary the mother of God. Nothing to do with this book. Even though billions of people believe it. There's more Catholics than there are Protestants. And Protestants can see that very clearly. They can't see their own sins.
Yeah.
You know, because if they do, they can't go to their church anymore. It really comes down to it, because they can't speak up. And that's what it comes down to. If you stand against the sins of Jeroboam, generally, you're going to be outcast. And that is what we're really doing. What is my self-interest? So I can either please Yahweh or I can please men. You know, I can just keep going for singing and stuff like that too, but if they're going to have me sign a statement that I've got to commit the sins of Jeroboam, I'm not going to commit them. I don't care. I'm not going to be a member of your church. Are you kidding me? You know, 70 years compared to 70,000 years with Yahweh? Are you kidding me? That's insane. But now we're going to also do what the word of Yahweh says, is to covenant to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. And our objective is to hear from our Heavenly Father by Holy Ruach, according to 1 Corinthians 14. So now I will give a prophecy first, and then everybody else who wants to speak in tongues, interpret, or prophesy, go ahead. And who's inspired? Well, Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for that Holy Ruach. We thank you for your word as Josiah. We can open that book and get rid of all these pagan images all around us, and pagan ideas and pagan teachings and set other people free. So I thank you for these words through Mashiach Yahushua. As you search my word, and as you carry on seeking to please me, do not be afraid of what others will say. Do not be disgraced or ashamed of who I am and what I am can be in you. But be proud that I live inside of you through Ruach, that inspired you, and I can be all things to men in order that I can light their paths, I can deliver them from the power of darkness. We need leaders to rise up, to be strong, to be courageous, without shame, with courage to go forth proclaiming my good news, not the good news of men, but my good news, in order that the captives may be set free.